From our talk last night, does anybody remember the four directions?
The colors?
The colors.
I was going to say, north, south, east, west.
Very good.
You came to my mind.
That's what I saw too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even here.
Very good, very good. East is yellow, where the sun comes up and everything new starts. It's the beginning. And south is white, that's right. What happens in the south? In our life? That's where life, we begin to grow up. And west is red or black. And in the west, that's where the sun, that's where we come into our wisdom years. And then can share all our wisdom with everybody. And the north is red or black, and that's where these bodies die. But our life doesn't end there. So I just wanted to kind of go over that with you. And, oh gosh, where are those coveted matches? There they are. Let's stand, and we will smudge. Who remembers about smudging?
Not 2 days in a row.
I had a few verbs.
Cleansing, blessing, and
purifying. And when smoke comes to you, this is called smudging. You just draw the smoke over you like this for a blessing and for a cleansing. You don't lean forward and take a deep breath. A lot of people have done that, but that's really, and the thing, I'll hold it, it's hot, yeah. That's what you do. And with that, I thought I'd offer this prayer. This is a book that you can, I think, get through the ELC. It's called Voices, Native American Hymns and Worship Resources, that I actually picked up at the little church in the woods, the little ELCA church in Wisconsin. Let us pray. As soon as I find it. Creator Grandfather, we offer the burning of the sage as purification, a reminder for those gathered here to cleanse our thoughts and hearts, that we may hear and be guided by your word and direction. We thank you for all our relatives, the four-leggeds, the winged, the star, people of the heavens, and all living things you have blessed us with to sustain this life. Empower each of us through the bringer of peace, Jesus Christ, to seek and make change for a better life for all people and all creation. Hear our prayers this day and every day. Accept our thanks for all the blessings we enjoy and for those yet to come. Aho. Amen. Now, what we're going to watch, a snippet, please sit down, is from the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 19, beginning at verse 29 through Luke 20, chapter 20, through verse 47 of chapter 20. So 19:29, we're going to go through verse 47 of Luke, chapter 20, verse 47. And it's understanding worship traditions, where we have been, what we're all familiar with, what we have known, and how does God lead us in worship.
Bethphagenon, Bethany Otwane Ichikhan Mayanke. El Ikila Wigli Khanda Baha Erbicha El Ihuni Heha, Wansbicha Kiki no Gaitoka Ia Uchaye, Jesus Leia.
Uchotima El Shunshila Makichima Magashka Najikelo, Ohe Yushka Pina Lechi Aupo, Dua Winioka Pihatash, Ikachanki Ilagi Kelo, Eapo.
Ready to send them?
Cha shushu ma ki ie api, Jesus e ki ahie cha. Shushu ma ki kiushka pi hiha, hawa ki mawi cha yam ki na heye.
Eh, naku e he a kiushka ho.
I tacha ki ilani ni telo.
I tacha ki Jesus, the Lord needs it.
O cha shumshuma ki Jesus kahipi. O na shina o akakpapi na ha akam Jesus iyo dakiapi. Ye ki ka itho kapia, makikshea oglek pekiapi. Na dakuku wakaya wa etchum pi he unu wakantaka ya oni hape. Wichasha ya dambi ma uki le wakantaka kawoki chanze akinchi ukta cha. Fukina oya te ki daya umpikta. Yukhan wo pe awanya kapi ki Jesus heki api.
Hey, yo wichakish ni yo.
Lena ini la umpi hantanish. Ian ki e ka esh asha pi telo.
Jerusalem I kila I hunina wayaka heha ishtamani apik papson.
Wakantra ka taya unichi apichi eash. Ayaki blizapish nicha onimiata yamdulo. Trokata troka ki niogomani mankhana ia hum augutre ani ubiktelo. Otroahe, taela nichajuji ubiktelo. Na nichinja piti okea. Nichaso ta pichtelo. Uchama ya la pichni he on otechi hi lena walaka pichtelo.
Yukha, Jerusalem, Lel Jesus Hina, Wachiki Tipiki Timai. Wawio kekiapi wahina gathanka ieu chaye na hewi chakye.
Mm-hmm.
wa kha e leche o wa yan pie go. O wa che ke ti bi ki le o wa che pia pi ta kha wa ma lu cha sha o ti ya ka la go.
En fait, il a Jésus a checké il a lancé chaque. Il a checké le mot après au crachant de
qui
Jésus te picta à watching bin. Au air du tournani au qui hippishni. Au air de qui lila Jésus au yé nach umbe heum. En fait, au wachi el, Jésus au air de qui autre image de qui chaque. Na anche Jesus lecce voi anche.
Uchasha wa choya be oju. Na oju ki le hong oi chaku. O na treha ichi mani iaye. Choya be ki wana washte wa heha kawa shi wa ikta baskuye cha ki hong yoye kiye. O eash wa shi ki abhapi na baskuye cha chola ki gile api. Cha wa shi ijinu ba wa ikta ye kiye. Erst nicht Hetschechi, Okechabi. Chake Ichiamin war Ekta Yeki, erst Hennago und Triabina Napreabi. Iukta, Hetching, Vichinchi, Yoaki, Tawakila Chahongana, Anakotabi, the Sedge. Moyanka, Biwaheha, Lechimpi. Ojubile Trogata, Yoajakte, Cha, Wajaj, Ukdebi Hatas, Ungitrabi, the Lo, Echimpi. Ocha, Inchinchi, Eayabina, Kdebi. Uchasha kibena dokeske oichakuak da ilukchampi huo. Una uchaktekte, na dua tokta etta oichakuktelo.
Dohani heche dushni ni eabi.
Leche dukdeshni heche. Dakwe oakua kaya lechechi oayanka huo. Bia wa tigara biki chimpishni, mua heechta cha tipiki baanka yuze. Tua lechon hattash ia iaka vlaskakte.
Oitkacham piki iecha i voichak lake ki akidle zapi. Na manchak nan Jesus o yuspa chimpi eash o yate ki koicha ki pkabi. Hoch Jesus o ye i juku zapi kitacha gaisa ki bo pi chapi. Wa ee ki o glushi jeki o yuspa bikta awa chimpi.
Wa manspekia, tuvene iaki esni. Kislo unyapi, unkoki akapo, wachpa woka juju, kiena, rom, ucha unkisha ijupi, kta aho.
Kashpapi wajima kipa zopo.
Around. This is a series that's called the Lakota Bible Translation Project. And it's part one is the Christmas part, the Annunciations, the Nativity, the Baptism, the Temptation, and Rejection. Part Part two is Jesus' early ministry, Sermon on the Plain, the Anointing, the Transfiguration, the Lord's Prayer. And part three are the parables, the mustard seed, the prodigal son, the teachings, and the entry into Jericho. And this is part four, the Easter part, where he comes into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. The first time we showed the Christmas story was on a Saturday night at Woyatan Lutheran Church, the church that I planted for the South Coast Synod. And a group of young men came in that were coming from the minimum security prison, all native men, had been incarcerated since they were 15 or so, first in JDC and now into federal prison. And they were on their way out and coming back into the community. And we showed the Christmas story, part one, and it was dead silence. And finally, when that was done, the one young man stood up. And when they come out of prison, they're tattooed from top of their heads to wherever. And he walked up to the microphone and he said, and he was probably 24, 25, in all of his life, he had never heard the story in our own language. So tonight we're about understanding worship traditions and where we have been. And that's what I would like to ask you. In your worship tradition, in your life, you know the story. Where have you been with this story in your life, and how has it touched your life, or are we so used to it that it doesn't have that profound effect on us anymore? You know, for people to hear the gospel, to hear the stories that we have always heard, but for people to hear them in their own language is profound, wherever you go in the world. And nobody expected it to have the effect that it is having on young native Sioux people, because this is only translated into the Sioux language, this series here, that it's been having. So a lot of these, they were children when they went in. They grew up in homes that spoke the language at home. So where have we been? What have we known? And how does God lead us in worship? I think it's profound how God leads us in worship. I don't know how to turn that thing off. If somebody does, that would be nice. Because we were so excited.
You need to press it one more time.
When these series began to come out, mainly because it's in a language of people who, for the most part, for maybe now a generation, only go to church, maybe funerals, weddings, maybe Christmas, if that, and so they don't know God. God isn't in their lives. And they don't know the word. They may have heard the stories as little children. And a lot of them will say, well, my grandma took me to church, but, and then that's the end of that. And so I wanted to share that with you because for the majority of us, these stories are something that we hear all the time and we know they're there. Sometimes maybe we listen with our whole ears and our whole hearts, and other times we don't. And where have we been in worship in our lives? Not always an easy question to answer because, our lives are what they are, from childhood to where we are today. Where have we been in worship? And what have we known? What is familiar to you in worship? Anybody want to?
Pipe organ.
Lucky.
Coffee?
Lucky. I said lucky.
Oh.
coffee.
That too.
Yeah.
There's a worship form that is very familiar to me and sort of very standard of, you know, some sort of a responsive call to worship, some sort of an opening prayer, some hymns somewhere in there, reading of scripture, sermon, offering prayers, some order, some other music sprinkled in here and there, choir singing, but you know, sort of that sense of flow is what's normal to me, and one of the things that draws me actually to Holden is to experience other ways of worshiping.
Other ways of worship, yeah, because there are. And one of the other ways of worship is the four directional prayers. And Lakota people gather in a circle, and they gather in a circle because, for one, it stands for this togetherness of the people, the Teoshpa'e, all the people. It stands for that togetherness. It was the village. It was all the relatives. It was all the friends. It was thousands and thousands of people coming together. And they built their villages in circles. And when they gather in circles. And so then one of the things that they do is the four directional prayers, and we do that in a circle. I have this series of prayers that I wrote. 1998 I wrote this. And I was working at Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in St. Paul. And they did something called Music on the Blacktop. They were reaching out to the inner city families that didn't go to church. And so in the summertime on a Saturday night, we would do Music on the Blacktop. First, we'd cook out. We'd have hamburgers and hot dogs and whatever people brought. And we'd draw the neighborhood in. And then we would do a worship service. And so we're going to, because we kind of are short on time, we're going to, I'm going to ask you to stand and follow my lead. Which way is east?
The sun comes up that way.
That way. Okay.
The sun goes down that way.
Okay.
So, in the four directions, I'm just going to use this little service that I wrote. And then on Friday, tomorrow night, we're going to gather in a talking circle. But on Friday night, we're going to have a little prayer service, and we will sing again.
I was so proud of you guys last night in the singing, the Lakota singing.
So in tradition, we turn to the...
We turn to the east. God, we turn to the east and offer you our thanksgiving, and we honor you. To the east, grant us light that we may see our faults and have better understanding with all peoples and cultures. You awakened us, refreshed us, and renewed us to face another day. And you awakened the children and blessed them. You made light out of darkness. Then we turn to the south. God, we turn to the south. We offer you our thanksgiving and we honor you. To the south, grant us warmth of heart, love, and kindness to all. If we've traveled far, eaten well, it is because of your generosity. If we do not hunger and we do not suffer, we give you thanks. We come to you for guidance. Let us not be any less kind to our brothers and sisters and strangers in spirit and deed. Let us walk with the young, the old, the well, and the sick, the homeless, and those who are not like us. Remind us to be strong and walk this path with us. We turn to the west. God, we turn to the west, and we offer you our thanksgiving and we honor you. To the west, cleanse the world and us of all sins. Each day you remind us of life, with the sun's rise, birth, and youth, with the sun's set, old age, and death. You remind us by the swiftness of the day how short life is. To see the sunrise and behold the sunset is joy. As your skies grow brightly just before sunset, may we too give light to our children. May our good deeds shine as brightly as the sun. May we sleep this night in the peace that you bring. We turn to the north. God, we turn to the north and give you thanks and honor you. To the north, keep us pure and clean of mind. We come to you for guidance. Help us to remember that we are not wise, and if we fail to take care of tomorrow, we shall bear the consequences. Help us to make wise decisions. Bless our elders with the love of their grandchildren and the respect of all people. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wakantanka, I offer this sage in reverence and gratitude of your creation of which we are part. For our lives, the sun and all heavenly bodies, the sky, the mountains, streams, and animals, and all your creation. We thank you for these gifts. Wakantanka, thank you for all your wonderful gifts. Have pity on us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the song we sang at, that was many and great, O God, which is right here, which is actually written in Sioux. And the other one is Beautiful Savior. This one is in English. I thought we could sing those on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly, the words that are on the bottom, you can sit down. The words that are on the bottom of the board there, I wanted to share with you, those are the four traditional values. Wakan Tognaga. Wakan Tognaga is generosity. And it's a value of the Lakota people. And I always say that the reason that we're so poor and we never have anything is because we give it all away. Traditionally, when someone came to your house and they admired something in your home, you gave it to them. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, when someone came to your house, and people still do this, you fed them. You didn't ask them, would you like, you know, coffee, water, tea, or are you hungry? You just put the food in front of them. And then you sent food home with them.
Yeah.
And generosity, that's a part of that. The generosity wasn't just the giving of things, though. It was the offering of shelter, the praying for people. That's all a part of the generosity of the Spirit. And then the next word is wo uhitika. Wo uhitika. Courage. Taking care of others takes a lot of courage for us to do that. So you know, a lot of times people are facing hard times. And I think this could be outreach to people that are facing hard times, whether it be homeless people or people coming out of jail or prison or whatever they are, or just people struggling in their personal lives. It takes courage to take care of people. So that's another one. And the other one is wowachi tanka. Wowachi tanka. Respect. In order for people to live together in peace, they have to respect one another. And as people everywhere, we lose that respect for one another. We get so caught up in our lives today, we forget that this is something we're called to do. And then it's wo shape, wisdom. The knowledge and the wisdom of the elders, it's an honor to be an elder. I have been waiting forever to be an elder. When I turned 50, I declared I was an elder, and they laughed at me, but, you know, I tried. I really was.
AARP agreed.
Yeah, they did. And it's not the age. It's your life experiences. That's what it is. And those things that you can teach and share with people. So wisdom, Shape, the knowledge and wisdom of the elders is something that we share, that we give. And the other thing that I just love about being an Indian woman is that when people ask you to speak, they have to listen. So, you know, it'd be really rude for any of you to get up and walk out while I'm talking. It's going to be so disrespectful. That's my joke. But when you ask an elder to speak, a lot of times they will just stand up and talk, and it will just sound like it is nonsense. But the way we learn by being told a story. And so elders will stand up and talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk. And all of a sudden you realize they started here, they went all the way around here, and they came back to the same place with the point of the story. But that's what elders can do when you ask them to speak. So if you ever go to a native gathering and there's an elder speaking, and it sounds like he's never going to, you know, finish, shut up. For the most part, that's true. and he will finish when he's done. But that's just one of the honors of being an elder. And I'm sorry this is so short tonight. Tomorrow we will do the circle. And if any of you are interested in following, of course we already know the stories, but this Gospel of Luke, it takes us through the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, the road to Emmaus and the Ascension. This tape does. And you're more than welcome to. Well, you know, I leave on Saturday, but between now and Saturday, if you find a place and would like to see it, we certainly can. I can make that available for you. But you do need a Bible.
As an elder?
Absolutely.
Can I ask you to tell the story of Unchi Blankets?
Oh, Unchi blankets?
Because I think that would be a good way to
Unchi! Ooh. Ooh. it's not a ooh.
Oh,
no,
thank
I mean,
you.
It's U-N-C-I. Grandma.
Yeah.
Unchi. And I am. I have one grandson. He's seven. And Unchi, you know, it, well, that's a part of being honored and being who you are. I'm not really sure how to tell that story because stories change from person to person. So I don't really know what to say about that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
do you want to share something that you were told?
I just remember when I stayed at Pine Ridge for my cross-cultural experience that, well, first, there were two different traditions. One we heard about was the fact that mostly Minneapolis-based congregations were sending quilts to the ministry there. And so we were told that they were called Unchi blankets, because grandmas were making them. And so we were sleeping on them because we didn't have any mattresses and we were sleeping in the sanctuary and in the basement. And but then we also heard about, somehow that's also connected in my mind to the story of at death, the giveaway.
Mm-hmm. When somebody dies and we have wakes, and so there's a there used to be four-night wakes because it took people that long to travel to get to, you know, where the funeral was going to be. Anymore, there's a one-night wake, and people come, and you have a prayer service, and the people honor the family and help the family, and someone from the family then sits with the body the rest of the night, and then the funeral service is the next morning. Then after the service, usually, the family gives gifts to everybody that came and supported them in their grief, that helped them with, brought food to feed the other people, and they give blankets. And the blankets used to always be made by the women, and they could still be, I don't know, but it was always the grandmas that made the blankets that were given away to honor the people that came to honor them and their loved one that died. My family suffered a real tragic death a week ago, Saturday, or Sunday morning. My 18-year-old niece died. She was in a passenger in a car, and the car hit a parked tractor with a hay wagon on the back, and there wasn't anybody driving it, and they couldn't avoid it, and she didn't survive. She died, and so we had this long week of that tragedy with the wake on Friday night and the funeral on Thursday night and the funeral on Friday. And so those 2 days, and along with everything else that we, were very long for us because we gathered all the blankets and we hung them all around the room. And then the people came and we had prayer services and people brought a drum. It's really an honor to have people come and sing prayer songs with a drum. And they came and they sang for the family. Her friends, she just graduated from high school in May, and her friends came and they remembered her. And so it was laughter and tears. And then Friday morning was the service. And then the family fed all the people that were there. And then from there we went to the cemetery, which was like, 40, 60 miles away. So it was, you know, two full days and nights of wake and funeral and that grief and celebration of life. And we, at that point, we only gave gifts to the pallbearers and the people that brought the food. In a year, we will have a memorial service. It's called a wopila.
Mm-hmm.
The people will come back. And we will again remember her, and then everybody there, it could be 500 people, will leave with a gift from the family. In that year's time, we gather gifts. We make blankets and we gather gifts, and we give away, and we have a giveaway. And mm-hmm. So that's what we will do.
And remind me, wopila means thanks.
Wopila. A wopila is a, remember last night I told you it was a great big thank you?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, I'm
pilamae. Pilamae is thank you. And when people say wopila, wopila is the, that's when you do a giveaway. When you, a wopila is given for something significant in your family's life. It could be the memorial that we're going to do. It could be somebody was very ill and people came together and prayed and this person recovered, and so you have a wopila and you give gifts to whoever supported your family during this time, or you have an adoption. Within the Indian communities, we have what is called a hunka. A hunka ceremony is a traditional adoption. So when you adopt somebody into your family, all of your relatives become my relatives,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. That's why we have so many grandmas and aunts and moms and dads, because when you do a hunka, you're all related now. I mean, that's just the way it is. You're all family. And so then that family that was adopted then does a wopila, and they do the giveaway in thanks for being adopted into a new family. Well, I thank you. I don't even know what time it is, but I know that bell rang a long time ago.
Yeah, but I don't think that was for us.
No. Oh, that was the staff.
Oh, that's the staff meeting. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then we don't
Vesper,
have to
Vespers
go anywhere.
Is in half an hour.
Oh, it's in half an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, do you have any questions? Do you want to sing again? Or?
I do have a question.
Sure.
About respect, the
wo shape.
No, that's wisdom, right?
That's the wisdom.
Oh,
this is
respect is the one before it. Wo one.
This one.
Wo one
chitaka.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wo one chitaka.
Yeah.
Wo one chitaka.
And it would just be helpful for me if you would expand a little bit more about some of the nuances of what respect means in the community. And is that interpersonal respect, respect for all creation?
Community, respect for all creation. I think it was last night, and I don't remember if it was any of you or not, somebody said they had gone fishing with a native person, and that person, before they cast their line, put tobacco in the water,
mm-hmm.
and that tobacco is just a symbolic offering or showing of respect, and a thank you for that, whatever, that fish they're going to catch, giving up its life. And so the respect is not only just between people, it's for all of God's creation.
It reminds me, there's a, I saw this on PBS like 10 years ago, maybe longer. There's a mobile meat processing like truck, it's like an RV. that one of the South Dakota reservations has. And they slaughter buffalo, not ill buffalo for sale, but buffalo that are aged to the point where they're not going to be, you know, surviving longer. And when they go out, they actually do a prayer service for the buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They burn tobacco, they say the prayers, they sing a song, and then they slaughter the buffalo right there with the RV to process the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in seminary and I bought like a case of meat from them. It was the best meat I have ever tasted. But it was just good to be able to be connected with that type of respect for
and,
what you're consuming.
And that's a part of, you know, I used to have an uncle that was a bull hunter just by choice. He just liked to hunt that way. And he was very good at it. But he would do that when, you know, before he ever killed a deer, he always gave thanks, you know, before he did that. And that's just a part of these values. And it's the same, like when we gather sage, all this sage was growing in the Black Hills, but always before I cut it, I always give thanks. I just thank God for you know, having this plant growing so that I can use it, you know, and I use it in prayer and I use it at home, and that's something that I do. You won't hear people talking about these values, but you know, in a public way,
mm-hmm.
but those values are a part of your home life. You know, and that's we're just people, and we're not all perfect, and there are a lot of problems out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Indian country, there's addictions and so on and so forth, and there's just all kinds of things going on in home life. But when you sit down with a child, they know these, because somebody has taken the time to explain these things to them, you know, as a part of who they are as people.
And it's public as well. I mean, you're.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, part of the whole. I mean, all of their elected council meetings,
mm-hmm.
for example, on the reservation in Pine Ridge are on the radio. So you hear what your elected official says. And how decisions are made. It also means they don't usually stay in office very long. But you know, but it's a public presentation of all these things, of the wisdom, of the respect, of all of that. It's personified in kind of every part of the way life is there.
And it's a way of life, that spiritual. This is the book I asked the bookstore to get it. They don't have it. They have one book that I recommended, but this is called Sacred Ground. And this comes out of TP Press in Chamberlain, South Dakota. But I think you can get it through any bookstore. The author is Father Ron Ziegler. Ziegler. I always say that. It's Z-E-I-L-I-N-G-E-R. Zellinger. And he's the author of this book. It's very simple. He is a Jesuit priest, but he spent most of his years on the Pine Ridge Reservation. He explains the different rites and ceremonies, like the rite of passage for girls, you know, the circle process, the using of sage and sweetgrass and cedar in prayer, and just a minute, sweat lodge. Humblecha, we talked about Humblecha, a vision quest, on the first night. I believe that was the first night I talked about Humblecha. When people go out and pray for 4 days to have a clear, an understanding of what God might want them to do in their lives. And that's what this book is. I always recommend it. It's a very easy read. Mine is falling apart.
These four values, I was just thinking about the third question on your list there, is how does God lead us in worship? And these values, maybe sort of, you know, what are the values that we're intentionally or unintentionally living up to in our worship, in our faith communities. I haven't gotten any further than the question.
That's a good question for each individual. I really think that's a good individual question. What values do we as individuals bring to worship or take from worship,
right,
and share in worship? Or do we not, you know, worship has become so familiar. You know, are there some things that are just lost to us? Not intentionally, but, you know.
Yeah.
I like that question because, not staying long in my tenures in churches, I get to see a lot of different worship styles and practices, and it's really indicative of the community sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very parallel and consistent with who they are and who their identity is and how they perceive themselves with how they worship. In other places, it's totally inconsistent. That, you know, either they talk a lot about it being a community of togetherness and they are educated and they realize that liturgy means the work of the people, and yet it's four of them who are doing everything, you know. And so it's interesting to see how we enact what we, who we propose ourselves to be and how we really live it.
And the other one was, where have we been and what have we known? And that's why I started with the video in the Sioux language, because that was completely unfamiliar. Yeah. To all of you, the language, even though you know the story, did you listen more intently? You know, did you read the Bible and did you follow along and hear something new you didn't hear before? You know, Jesus speaking to his people, you know, because we're all his people, whatever language we speak. But some of his people have never heard his word in their own language. It's really profound when you think about it, you know, and you can find that anywhere in the world. A lot of his people, because they aren't Christian, haven't heard his words in their own language. But then when you stop to think, there are people in our own country, you know, that have never heard his word in their own language. And I think that, personally, I love the thought that, you know, we were all created in his image, not in his image as how we look as individual people, but in his image spiritually. And he gives us ways to come to know him. And that's through our songs, you know, our language, our prayers, dance, however that is, he does that for us because he created us. Any questions? You just let me talk so you know. You know what I'm gonna do.
First verse is on God the Creator, you know, just in honoring his you know, creation. And then the second verse is, God, let us come into communion with you and be dwell among us. So
yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. You know, and even in this little video, I mean, hearing it in a language that's familiar to me but is completely different. And all those people were actors, but that's what was happening. You know, even with us sitting in this room watching, coming into communion with him, because he just draws us like that, you know, whether we understood the language or not. You know, he's always present. We as little people, I had a instructor at, my Hebrew instructor actually in seminary, but when I went to Augustana College in Sioux Falls, he was an instructor there. He used, I remember the first time I heard him say this, he said, Ben Blackout was a prophet, and he was a modern day prophet. And so that's a book that people should read. But Ben Blackout talked about the presence of God, and he used to say, we're just little tiny people. And so I say that a lot to people, you know, when we talk about God and God in our lives, or whether he's in our lives or not, or does God forgive us, does he understand us, does he hear us, but we're just little tiny people in God's world, and he never leaves us. He's always present with us, but because we're little tiny people, we're just human beings. And sometimes we leave God, maybe not intentionally, but whatever's going on in our lives, you know, and maybe it's for a short period of time or depending on individuals, sometimes we just do that because we're humans, but he understands that. Because we're his little people. Could be really deep stuff. It could be. The family circle. There's a word for the whole family. I've told you that. It's called Tioshpae, and it's spelled T-I-Y-O-S-P-A-Y-E. Tioshpae. And it means everybody. So that's what we are here at Holden Village. We are a Tioshpae of people. We're a family. Everybody here, whether we all know each other by name or not, we are a Tioshpae. That's that family circle. That's what Christ was calling us to be with one another, was that Tioshpae.
When you first mentioned that word, I thought about the, here's a church, here's the people, open the door and see.
All the people.
Tioshpae.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah, because that's what we are. You know, we are a Tioshpae. And one of the, I love to read Old Testament because Old Testament people were tribal people, mm-hmm. and they had this direct relationship with God. God talked to them. I mean, he did a lot of other things, you know. It was different. And I love the Old Testament, but then if you look in the world today, you find people that live that way still, you know, and they're still talking to God in that way, you know, in that kind of one-on-one God and have that relationship. Are you going somewhere?
No.
Oh.
I'm good in my scarf on.
Oh.
How extensive is the teaching in the native language? I noticed that the date on the video box was 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a great number of people spreading this word in the native language?
Always, all denominations. I grew up, you know, I was born way back in the 40s, and it's the language I grew up in. That's what last night I said, when people ask me, do you talk Indian? I tell them I speak church Indian, because when I went to church, I could sing and pray in Indian or in Sioux, and I couldn't talk it at home, even though aunts and uncles and other relatives would come and speak the language. We had to answer them in English, because my dad didn't want us to suffer through what he suffered through when he was sent to boarding school. And so, but that was his choice. A lot of families didn't do that. Their children grew up talking the language at home. So it's my life, but in the 60s, the public schools on the reservations began to teach the language from kindergarten through high school. And now it's just in South Dakota, at least, it's in all the schools, whether they're reservation schools or off-reservation public schools or tribal schools or church schools, they all teach language, song and dance, stories and history, starting from kindergarten, you know, through college. But that started in the 60s, and it was a very brave thing for the public schools to do on the reservations, because it wasn't an approved curriculum. You know, they were just local people got together, and they brought grandparents into the kindergarten and preschool rooms, and the grandparents began to teach the little ones, tell them stories and teach them everyday language, water, and, you know, just that kind of thing. And it just grew from there. So you find it everywhere. And I think just about every tribe does that now in the United States.
I wonder if programs like No Child Left Behind are going to end up hurting that.
They might.
Because it's all about the tests.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't...
You know, I suspect there's not going to be much Lakota dialect on the tests in California, so...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. Well, maybe it's not funny to you, but... When you're going to, you know, before you go to seminary, you know, you have to take that psychological eval. And so I live in Rapid City, and I was on my way to St. Paul, and I had to stop in Sioux Falls and take that test. And it was a blizzard. I blew across South Dakota in this blizzard, my little car. And I get to where I'm supposed to go in Sioux Falls, and you know, and it's snowing and blowing, and I thought they'd cancel the test, but they didn't. So I go in, and he shows me, he gives me a choice. Do you want to sit here? And it's kind of an open room table. So I said, sure, I'll sit there. And he goes, no, you can sit in this room in here. So I go and I sit in that room, and I'm taking the test. And this is what's funny to me. And this test asks the same questions in many different ways. And it's one of the questions in like four different ways was, do you ever see things? Do you ever hear voices? Now, as a native person, I would say yes, but you know, I figured that one out. No. You don't dare, you know, because as a native person, you know, spiritual things and spiritual voices and those kind of things are a part of our everyday life. It's just the way it is. And you know, it's just the way it is. But I didn't, you know, when I saw this question, boy, I watched for them all the way.
You would think they would want you to answer that yes. You already are
hearing. Oh, no.
Right. But it wasn't. Even before somebody.
Before you get there, I'm hearing it.
It is a culturally relevant test. Called. My Peruvian friend had trouble with that too.
Yeah, it isn't, you know, and it and but anyway, I thought that was really funny. So that's my place.
I know. I have a test question. A mess. In
what time is it?
You'll have to excuse my language with this one too. But in the Wisconsin 8th grade exam, there's the question: what effect did the coming of the railway have on the American Indian? Well, in the first place, that presupposes no Indians taking the test. And I was principal on the Menominee Reservation. And dear Roland in 8th grade wrote, what effect did the coming of the railway have on the American Indian? He wrote, it scared the shit out of us. Probably the best answer I got, but I don't know how they scored it.
Yeah. Oh, that is really good. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
I think one other piece that you can't, that you've lived for us, that I don't know even how to describe, but you've culturally presented the humor.
I'll do that.
And the sense of humor of a Native American, and also kind of the interesting dynamics of respect. Like yesterday, when you're like, can anyone explain smudging? And look directly at me. That is something that culturally happens on the reservation all the time.
I know.
That you indicate you're the one going to answer this. You're put on the spot, and as the younger or as
the
person on the
spot. And you never say
no. You never say no. You have to step up. And you have to.
Exactly. And I struggle with that even, you know, I'm an old lady now. But I still struggle with that because, you know, in the dominant culture, it's okay to say, no, I can't, whatever. But in our culture, when someone asks you, it's an honor to be asked, And you never say no. You always say yes, even if you're scared to death for whatever it is. To
we'll
walk
that gets
into
back to whoa, oh,
this one.
The courage.
The courage one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that?
Wo-ohitika.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It does in a, you can walk into a church service, an Indian church service, and the priest or the pastor, whoever, will walk up to you and say, will you preach today? And you have, may have never been in that church before.
Yes.
You say yes.
Okay.
That happens
yes.
all the time,
yes.
You know. Or will you lead the prayers today? Well, do you, well, yeah, okay.
I guess so.
That's just the way it is, you know. It's an honor to be asked, and you just say yes. You just do it. Do the best you can. It's kind of fun, actually. That's kind of fun. That must be Vespers, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I better pick up.
Thank you very much.
We'll do a talking circle. Well, you guys get to talk.
Joanne, when you said you got that book at the church, was it Vengeance, the Lutheran Church of the Wilderness?
Yeah.
So, well, that's where I
don't know.
That's where I went.
Well, the answer is yes.
Yeah, when I lived when I lived in Shawnee, I went to church there.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw their the woman that's their priest, her husband was, and he died 2 years ago. Now she's their pastor. About 3 weeks ago, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I write to her.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you can get this.
Well, when you said the church in the woods, I
yeah.
thought maybe.
It is.
And
that's
they
it.
Begin their service with the conch shell.
Yeah, they do.
So
yeah.
that would be
yeah.
part of that worship
yeah.
tradition that.
Yep. Definitely. Oh, thank you.
Certainly. I apologize for being late.
Oh, that's
okay. I thought that this session began at 6:30, and I was watching the clock as I was talking to somebody.
He wasn't respectful.
He wasn't.
It wasn't. It was very disrespectful. And I'm,